Good morning. Today's reading is Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 16, and it's from the Message version. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. This is what he said. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart, put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even. For though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavours of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colours in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there, on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven.
Thank you, Louise. Before I say another word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, that as we're sat here, you have filled us with your breath. And it's your very breath that gives us life. Holy Spirit, come and have your way in me. May your words be the only words that I speak. And I ask that you open our hearts to hear you, to see you, to know you, and to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I have to apologize because I realized that I was a bit unfair when I was speaking to the children. That scripture in Psalms doesn't just apply to the little ones. We are all children of God. And he's made us in his image. He's made us special. He's made us, created us just the way he is. So no matter whether we are 2, 5, 8, 30, 40, 70, we are all gifts from God. Oh, 90 plus. 90 plus. And even 100 plus. We are all a gift from God because he created us in his likeness. And I thank you for the privilege to be with you this morning. Thank you, Simon. I don't take this lightly. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Yuli Lang-Orobo. I'm the Church Partnerships Manager with Compassion UK across the region. And for this morning's message, I'm going to give us a little bit of context about the first part of the passage. But I'm going to focus on two verses, or probably three verses, the latter verses towards the end. And in between that, I am going to also share about compassion. How many of you have heard about compassion before? Oh, that's amazing. That is exciting, actually. How many of you are already sponsoring Children with Compassion? Okay, could I ask you to please come and see me at the end? Because I would love for us to link your children to the church. So then next time we come, we can do a big celebration of all the children that have been impacted. For those of you who are not very familiar with Compassion, Compassion is an international child development charity working across 29 countries in partnership with over 8,900 churches. Together, we are partnering to reflect God's love to the poor, to children and families across the globe. Many of them, I've brought some with me at the front here, but I'm going to share a little bit more as I speak this morning. So the opening verses in Matthew 5 is commonly known as the Beatitudes. And to be honest, I think we could spend a whole month on the Beatitudes, but we don't have a month. And this is Jesus really speaking to his disciples and a crowd that were following him. And it was his first real sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus declared his kingdom, what his kingdom looks like, what his kingdom is made of. And he presents a radically different agenda from what the Israelites were expecting the Messiah to come and present. He was different. Jesus produced a proclamation of how God calls his followers, how God calls you and I to walk and live with him. It's a blueprint for the character of a kingdom citizen, people who call themselves Jesus followers. Jesus was not describing a political or material blessing. He was simply emphasizing the spiritual implications of knowing him, loving him, and being with him, and reflecting him to others. The word blessed, so I intentionally use the Message version because sometimes when we change the translation and read a different translation, it just opens up some new words, simpler words, that everyday words that sometimes we don't really see in some of the other translations. But the word blessed in the Greek is makarios. I did practice that. And that means an inner state, an inner contentment of spiritual joy, happiness that flows from within when we are in the right relationship with Jesus. Who doesn't want to be happy here? We all desire to be happy. We all desire to be blessed. Jesus was saying that those who are truly happy, those who are truly blessed, are those who recognize their spiritual poverty. They are those whose character aligns with his kingdom purposes. They are those who hunger for righteousness. They are those who hunger for justice, who are pursuing justice for the unjust. They are those who work for peace on earth, those who seek to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. He emphasized that the kingdom of God belongs to the marginalized, the grieving, those the world considers as unimportant and powerless. When we look in our communities, even across the globe, there are millions of people who feel powerless, whose voices are not heard. Christians can sometimes assume that the inner peace and that inner alignment is only developed in isolation, but Jesus says, no, that we are to live in him and through him and reflect him to the world. But I'm going to focus on verses 14 and 16. Because this scripture really speaks of something that my family and I have been journeying with for many years, probably even since we became Christians over 15 plus years ago. It says, "You are here to be a light, bringing out God's colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I am putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine." Can everyone say with me? Shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt other people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Another translation, the NLT, says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop, cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." I said that these verses are very foundational to our family. My husband really walked with the youth group that he was ministering to. He was a youth minister before. And that was the core scripture that he really empowered the youth group with. Even our children, when he was driving them to school every morning, he would ask them two questions. No, he'll first say, "Remember, you are a light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden." And then he'll ask them these two questions. How are you going to shine today? How are you going to let your light shine today? And how are you going to move in your day? And he will encourage them to show respect to their teachers. He will encourage them to show kindness to their fellow students. He will encourage them not to allow anyone to dim their light. But instead, they should always remember that they are a light because Christ is in them. And this is what I want to share with us today. I once read an article by Eva van Strien about the importance of light, the light that we carry. But the reference to the light that she was writing about was about photosynthesis. She said that light is the essence of life itself. And without it, we would have nothing. She also said that light is the main source of energy for all living organisms. Plants need light for photosynthesis, to make food for themselves and for others. Imagine if all the plants in the world, all the trees in the world, those that are edible and those that are not edible, were only there and existed for themselves. Me and you would be pretty hungry, wouldn't we? Especially those who are choosing to be plant-based, vegetarians. It would be impossible. But in the same way, our lives serve as a greater purpose in God's mission. Our lives serve as a greater purpose in God's grand plan in his kingdom. But sometimes we can get discouraged. Sometimes we can get despondent. Sometimes fear can grip us. Sometimes the voices of the enemy can distract us. Sometimes the loud voices around the world can also cause us to shrink back our light. There's a powerful anonymous quote that I've got in my bathroom, and anyone who comes to visit would always have the pleasure of reading it. And it says this: "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented? Actually, who are you not to be? Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that others won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine. As we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. And as we are liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Does that resonate to anyone in this room? Because I know that it resonated with me, probably all my life. And at times I've consciously decided to shrink back because of fear, because of anxiety, because maybe sometimes fear of failing. There's always been opposition to light, and that is the darkness. The darkness that plagues our world, the darkness that plagues our heart, the darkness that plagues our community, the darkness that plagues our leaders, the darkness that seek to perpetually plague against the will and purposes of God. Yet light brings new life. It exposes truth in the darkness. It exposes truth against the lies. In John 1 verse 5, it says that the light shine in the darkness and the darkness has overcome. Jesus overcame darkness. Jesus overcame sin on the cross. Jesus overcame every anxiety and everything that plagues us in this earth today. Because his light is in us. We sung about the cross. Our shame was nailed on the cross. I don't know what you're carrying. Our poverty was nailed on the cross. Our insecurities were nailed on the cross. In John's Gospel, Jesus was described as the light of the world, the one who brings truth and understanding. When we look around our world today, there is truth that is not very truthful. I think they call it fake news. The Prime Minister of Barbados says that the crisis of truth in our world today is the greatest threat. And she was addressing the UN recently. Today, leaders around the world with the loudest voices, with power, with money and influence are distorting the truth. They're creating divisions. They're deepening the inequality. The rich will get richer and the poor will get poorer. Compassion cares about the poor because Jesus cares about the poor. I'm going to leave this. If that's okay. Because multitasking is not my best skill. So just bear with me. Compassion cares about the poor. Cares about those living in abject poverty. Because Jesus cares about the poor. In John 8 verse 12. Jesus says that I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. But will have light. Will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have life, but will have the light of life. All across the 29 countries that we work in, the church, just like you and I, are seeking to be aligned with God, are seeking to be aligned with Jesus, are seeking to reflect his light into a very dark world. Over 333 million children that are living in abject poverty right now. It's a dark, dark world for them. Many, like I shared before, don't have the choice of choosing between clean water or dirty water, because the only option that they have is the dirty one. Many of them don't have the option of going to school because the family are not able to pay for their school fees. We have the privilege that we can send our children to school and not think about paying school fees every month, unless you're privileged enough to send your children to private school. Many don't have the means to take their children to the hospital because they cannot afford to pay for the medical bills. So when the child falls sick, or even when the parent falls sick, if there is no help, then the child will die needlessly from preventable diseases. A colleague once explained hope as this: hope is the promise that transformation is possible. And I actually believe that. You see, many years ago, my family and I were going through a very dark time. It was a season where hope, the word hope, was not in my vocabulary, because I couldn't see the light out of the dark tunnel. We couldn't afford to pay our bills. We couldn't even afford to go on holiday. And it was just the sheer grace of God that we still were able to have our mortgage, even up to today. Because even when hopelessness exists, the Jesus that we serve, the Jesus that we sing about, the Jesus that died on the cross that you and I can receive that hope. And those dark times back then, Jesus showed up. He didn't show up as an angelic angel. How did he show up? He showed up through the church. He showed up through strangers. He showed up through his Bible. He showed up through his scriptures. He showed up through that small whisper. Because you know what? No matter what we face, the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said that he came that we may have life and have it abundantly in every possible way. Emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, socioeconomically. Ed Walker said that the poverty of being unloved is the greatest poverty. And he also explains that poverty in our society is not just financially or psychologically. The poverty that we face as a human race is spiritually, socioeconomically, and right now in our times, socially, people are living in poverty. The days of just knocking on your neighbor's door and popping in for a cup of tea doesn't exist, because everybody is on their phone, everybody is on their digital device. We've moved to St. Ives not very long ago, and it's very different. We haven't got to know our neighbors as we would have liked to. We've come from a cul-de-sac where everybody knew each other. But things have changed. And we're praying that, do you know what, by the end of this year, Lord, give us the grace to inspire hope into that community. A hope of social gathering. A hope that can inspire people to connect. A hope that can shine the light of Jesus into other people's homes. Everett Swanson was a Baptist minister. And he was sent out to South Korea to minister to the American troops back in 1952. And whilst he was out there, he went out for a walk one morning and he noticed that, you know, the bin men were clearing up the rubbish of the streets. And sometimes they'll kick the bags before they threw them on. As he drew closer, he also noticed that these were not just rubbish that were being thrown onto the truck, but these were also children that were orphaned due to the Korea War. Abandoned, rejected, neglected, nobody cared. Now, he could have gone on and carried on his business and served the American troops and go about his business. But he didn't walk away because he couldn't unsee what he saw. Because the very light of Christ existed in him. The great commandment that Jesus gave to his church, to love him first and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And that very command to love our neighbor as we love ourselves drove him, or inspired him rather, when he felt this question prompted in his spirit over and over again, what are you going to do? And that question led him to do something. And he didn't do it on his own. He shared it with other people. And he allowed other people to be also invited into the opportunity that they too can shine their light into that dark situation. And over 70 years later, we have over 2.3 million children who are thriving in and through the local church's ministry. And every single child that I have brought with me here today, this is Rahima. She is 16 and she lives in Ethiopia. Her birthday is going to be on Wednesday. Her local church is where she goes. Her local church is where she gets to hear about Jesus. Her local church is where she gets to know that she's a child of God and she's cared for and she's loved. Her local church is the one who is being Jesus' hands and feet and reflecting the light of Christ to her and her family. But they can't do it alone. That's why Compassion works in partnership with the global church, with the churches in the UK and Ireland. And we're working with all those who are seeking to reflect the light of Jesus. All those who are committed to being in alignment with God. All those who are choosing to be a follower of Christ, to know him and to make him known. And you might be wondering, what does this mean? It means Rahima is registered at her local Compassion Project, which is also connected to the church. It means that she is waiting for a sponsor who will be willing to journey with her. It means that for £32 a month, you can invest in the future that is still being written, in the story that God is still writing, and you can be a part of that. It means that for £32 a month, you can enable her to be supported and empowered through her local church, to have nutritious meals, to have access to education, vocational training, but most importantly, that relationship that we have with Jesus, you can help to introduce her to that relationship. That through your relationship and the local church, she gets to know that she is loved and cared for. That she has a bright hope and a future. That she carries the very light of Christ in her. And that light is to shine. And she is to move with confidence. Because no darkness can prevail against her life. And today I want to give as many of you as are able to consider sponsoring a child with compassion. And it means that you get to be part of their lives for as long as you would like to. Please do come and see me at the end. I want to leave you with this. Divine love cannot lay dormant in anyone who receives it. When it's truly invested into another person, it rewards infinite returns, overflowing and spilling from neighbor to neighbor. That is a quote from AJ Gomez, who had the benefit of visiting our Compassion Project, bless you. And he encountered face to face what it means for the local church to extend the love of Jesus to their neighbor. Compassion is Christ-centered. Everything that we do is through the principles and the scriptures that Jesus has given us. And we focus on the child because the children are our neighbor, and they are most affected by the devastating effects of poverty. And we are church driven because we believe that the church is the hope of the world. And anything that we do, we can only do because it all starts with when we follow Jesus' example. When we follow Jesus' lead, we are able to move with compassion. And as we read, and Louise read beautifully the scripture for this morning, it's very self-explanatory, isn't it? I want to share Richmond's story with you very briefly, and then I'll close with a prayer.
My name is Richmond Wandera. I come from a country called Uganda. My mother was a very loving mother. My father was a very hard worker. But unfortunately, when he was murdered, everything changed for us dramatically. We ended up in a slum called Naguru, which is Uganda's worst slum. Naguru was dubbed the forgotten community. And life on the street was extremely difficult. The things I did to survive. Poverty robs children of the dignity of choice. I would have chosen school. I would have chosen food. I would have chosen health. When this compassion staff member came to our home and told my mom that Richmond has got a sponsor, the amount of dancing that filled our home was beyond description. My sponsor began to write to me, and I felt known, I felt connected. They basically helped me become a child again. My pastor invited me to be part of the pastoral leadership, and I established the Pastor's Discipleship Network. And so the Pastor's Discipleship Network exists to train and equip African pastors. Right now, we celebrate God for 6,000 churches that have sent their pastors to be a part of our program. So what started as one decision to sponsor one young African boy has ended up not just changing the boy's family, but the boy's church and the boy's community. It's the best possible investment a person could ever make. The children that we see today will be around long after we are gone. And to invest in them, I can't think of any better investment. And so anyone who is thinking about sponsoring a child, do it. Do that. Because you're investing in tomorrow.
Richmond Wandera was sponsored by Heather, who was 15 years old, and she took a babysitting job to sponsor him. Richmond Wandera is now on the Board of Trustees at Compassion UK. Richmond Wandera is now building a university in Uganda to raise up leaders. Richmond is shining his light because a 15-year-old girl was shining her light and shared the love of Jesus with him. This morning, I pray that the Lord will open our eyes and our heart to know him more. And as we know him more, that we will be aligned with his will and his purpose and his mission. That as we align ourselves with his mission, that his desires will become our desires. That as his desires is our desires, even the things that we think we are desiring, that he can fulfill that in us. But as he fulfill that in us, that we can be a reflection of him to our neighbors, but most importantly to the marginalized, to those who don't have a voice, to those who are silenced by the darkness of poverty. In Jesus' name, amen.